Welcome, everybody, to Jawanza for Life. My name is Jawanza. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I am very, very, very excited, very pleased to be able to have another opportunity just to come before you and to share perspectives, insights, and information that you will be able to use and be able to chew on and digest. And I want to welcome everybody who's tuning in for the very first time. If you don't know how the format works, if you have a question or you'd like to make a comment, all you have to do is just press 1, and then I can bring you on board and you can ask your question and or make your comment. My special guest today is a regular on Jawanza for Life. We are very pleased, blessed, and honored to have someone of this caliber to come on and share with us regularly about, normally when my guest comes on, we're talking about holistic health. And today's show is going to be a little different, but it's still in the same vein of holistic health. We're going to be talking about holistic relationships, cultivating holistic and healthy relationships. My special guest today is Dr. Ruby Lathan. She's a certified holistic nutritionist and an advocate for plant-based nutrition. And Dr. Lathan inspires us with a powerful story of recovering from thyroid cancer through alternative treatment focused on a whole foods plant-based diet. Dr. Lathan has worked as a researcher and an award-winning engineer and now teaches others how to re-engineer their health and live disease-free. Dr. Lathan is a graduate of the University of Alabama and served as nutrition policy manager at the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, where she developed and led a national grassroots campaign to advocate legislation for more healthful plant-based meal options in the National School Lunch Program. Dr. Lathan is host of The Veggie Chest, a plant-based cooking show that she started, and through her organization, Roadmap to Holistic Health, she hosts a number of healthful conferences, workshops, and vegan cooking classes, and provides customized nutritional consultations as well. So, as you can see, she's very qualified to talk about holistic health. I mean, how many people do you know that had cancer and actually cured themselves? I'll repeat that. How many people do you know, you don't have to raise your hand, how many people do you know that have had cancer and cured themselves? Okay, so you're listening to somebody when you hear Dr. Lathan who knows what she's talking about. And today, as I mentioned, we're going to be talking about holistic health from another perspective. We're going to be talking about relationships. That's right, this is going to be good. Everybody has either been in a relationship, wants to be in a relationship, or maybe has decided they're never going to be in a relationship again, depending. So today we're going to be talking about relationships and the role that that plays in our health, our holistic health. So without further ado, let me get to my special guest, Dr. Ruby Lathan. As always, my sister, it's a pleasure to have you on again today. I can't wait to get into this discussion today. How you doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm happy to be here.
Great to have you, as always. Oh, relationship. What a topic. What a topic. Everybody is we're here. If it wasn't for relationships, none of us would be here today. You know, we wouldn't even be having this discussion. I mean, relationships are why we are here. The reason that we are born, it's because of somebody relating to somebody. There was a relationship going on. And so that goes to underscore the importance of this discussion. Wow, where do we begin? Talk about healthy relationships. First, if we could, maybe just even start off with, because there are a lot of people, and I do understand that when we have a discussion such as one on relationships, it's not a one-size-fits-all type of conversation because people are coming from own perspectives, different backgrounds, different beliefs, and what's acceptable, what's unacceptable. I mean, so we understand it's not a one-size-fit-all type of discussion, but again, I invite anybody who wants to join in the discussion to please do so. But, Doctor, when we talk about relationships and holistic health, a lot of people attribute, and maybe even not just attribute it to, but stress could be an issue if you're in a relationship and it's not a healthy one, If you're undergoing chronic stress, constant stress relationship, then obviously that's going to affect your health. Could you talk about first the need for us to even cultivate healthy relationships and the effect that that will have on our overall health?
Absolutely. I mean, we are designed as social people, and you know, we need each other to you know, do what we do, and to have that support systems, and to just live a happy life. Relationships are important. It's equally important that they're healthy relationships, because you know, we whoever we spend a lot of time with, we tend to take on their energy and habits and things like that. So you know, we can't just have relationships in a haphazard way, even friendships, because you know, who we interact with affects our life more than we think it does. And so we need support, we need socialization, we need interaction. It's very, very important for mental health, physical health, all of that. So, yeah, it's critical. It's just making sure we establish the right relationships that makes the difference.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there are people out here, I'm sure, that might be in relationships that are unhealthy. They don't even know it, okay, just simply because of what they've grown up seeing. Okay, you could take somebody that's grown up in a household where there's violence in the home, you know, spousal abuse in the home, and the child grows up seeing that, and as a result of seeing that, assuming that that's how you solve problems. You know, when you encounter an issue that you don't like, you know, you get violent. And so if you take somebody that's grown up seeing that, or if you take somebody that has felt like they're undeserving of a healthy relationship, that when situations as extreme as, you know, violence in the relationship occur, they might not even know that that's not healthy. They might assume that it's normal. You know what I'm saying? So could you talk about that for a moment, just the need for, even as we adults cultivate healthy relationships, to be able to, not just for ourselves, but for those that are watching us, the little ones that are watching us, coming up behind us and looking to us to set examples of what a healthy relationship is, so that they have some sort of foundation, something that they can draw on when they encounter something that's not healthy?
That's a good point. I mean, depending on how you grew up, you tend to have a different level of what's normal and what's not, and we have to understand that maybe the relationships that we saw modeled or lack of, you know, weren't a good thing, and so that we need to, you know, find different models to look at if we didn't have that in our home. But generally, you know, one way to know is to just go on how you feel, for starters. If you're in, you haven't had a good relationship modeled, or you've seen, you know, your parents were ones that fought, or your parental figures were ones that fought a lot, you know, that didn't feel good, or that it didn't seem like it was healthy. You can just tell by how you feel when you're in a relationship with someone and they say derogatory things to you or say things that just make you feel a certain way. That's your barometer to say, okay, this isn't a good thing. And a lot of times we just ignore that and say, well, I thought it was normal, but it's not normal not to feel good. So it's like, regardless of your situation, you haven't seen healthy things modeled before, but you know when you interact with someone whether you feel better or you feel worse or the same. So if it's worse, then that's not good. If you go and interact with someone and you feel worse than when you started, you don't need anything else to tell you this wasn't a good thing. That's not a good thing. And so I think we can just start with the baseline kind of litmus test right there. When you interact with the person that you say you're in a, quote, loving relationship with, or whatever type relationship with, and something they do or say makes you feel worse than when you started, then that's not a healthy thing. And if that's consistent, You know, obviously everybody has bad days, but if that's consistent, then there's a problem. And so that's the starting point, listening to your gut. So, you know, maybe you grew up where violence was the norm, but you know that didn't feel good when you saw it, and you know that it doesn't feel good if it's happening to you, so you know that's not a good thing. Because it's hard to say what normal is, but, you know, generally it's we all know what good, feeling good and not feeling good is like, so that's the starting point.
I see the phone lines are lighting up. Well, you put up a topic of relationships and people are responding. I want to welcome everybody to tune in. My special guest is Dr. Lathan. We're talking about relationships. Could you talk about, Doc, for a moment, communication? Because in relationships, you have to communicate. There has to be a level of communication. You have to talk. You have to talk to your mate. You have to talk in ways that don't inspire or elicit from the other person a negative response or an angry response. You know, it's important. People, you've heard the saying, everybody, it's not what you say, but how you say it. And one of the things that I've heard many brothers complain about, even in relationships, is like, you know, man, why'd y'all break up? You know, man, I don't like the way she talked to me, you know? So now, of course, that's a two-way street. You know, I'm not saying that to suggest that all women have, you know, need to, you know, watch what they say. I mean, brothers, of course, have been known to verbally abuse mates as well. Neither are good. But could you talk about the need to communicate to your mate in ways that are loving and kind, because you can get your point across without screaming and yelling and all of that. And it's important to communicate, but not just to communicate, but how you communicate.
Yeah, absolutely. It's that's a key point. It's definitely how you say things. You know, a lot of relationships go downhill because of the way people talk to each other. That indicates, you know, a lack of respect for the other person because you're yelling or you're calling them other things other than their name and things like that. That sets up a disrespectful pattern that is not healthy because you can have disagreements without being derogatory, you know. And that's just a level of respect, a line that shouldn't be crossed, because when it does get crossed, it's hard to get it back and get respect back in place when we just deliberately tear it down. And we have to remember when we're, you know, having disagreements, you know, this is the person you chose to be with, so it's not going to benefit you to tear them down and they feel bad because you're with them, you're connected to them. So it doesn't make a lot of sense. They're like part of you. So I don't understand why people do that. If you intend to stay with this person, then tearing them down is a bad idea because you're tearing down half of your household, you know, and then expecting a good result. So it's like sometimes we got to think through these things. I know we get angry and things like that, but if you have a, you know, a lot of times it's because of chronic problems that come up, like finances or things like that, and instead of focusing on the solutions, we focus on the problems. So number one, you know, you have to go into it with respect. And if you don't respect the person you're with, then maybe you shouldn't be with them. And instead of just torturing each other day in and day out, you know, that's something to consider. Maybe this isn't the right fit. It just doesn't make sense. So you have to establish the respect for each other, have some ground rules. You know, we don't do this, we don't do that. You know, if it comes up and it happens the first time, it's got to be addressed the first time. Look, this is not how we're going to argue. I'm not going to stay around if this is how you communicate when you're angry, or this is how you communicate when you're just not happy. This is not, you know, acceptable. We have to just lay down the ground rules. So this is not how we're going to communicate. And then, you know, how you say something, if you want a good result, you know, saying it with attitude or saying it in a sarcastic way or something like that, it's just not going to yield good results. And so it's really, to me, I think it's ground rules of how far we're going to how we're going to communicate when we're happy and how we're going to communicate when we're not happy. And we need to adhere to those rules because, you know, at the end of the day, the purpose of communication is hopefully to come to some type of understanding, some solution, convey our feelings. And so we have to have an expectation that, you know, certain lines aren't going to be crossed. And one way not to get there is, you know, to take some of the emotion out of it. You know, wait if you're extremely angry before really having a, you know, discussion about it so that you can hold your peace. But, you know, respect is the starting point. And I think if we maintain that, then you can, you know, get through whatever it is you're trying to get to or through.
If we could talk about apologies for a moment, because I've heard brothers say, too, as a matter of fact, I know one brother in particular who would say that his girlfriend would never, ever apologize for anything, ever. You know, it was like an unwritten rule, like somebody trained her, look, whatever you do, don't apologize. Never say I'm sorry, you know, and he said she never would. He said that she would do things to let him know that she was sorry, like make cook his favorite meal or something like that. But for him, he felt like even though he understood that that was her way of communicating that she was sorry, he felt like it would have been nice to hear her say, I'm sorry. And even for just talking about apologies for a moment, let's say, for example, listeners, you get into a great big discussion, a big fight with your mate or whatever, and each of you say things and do things that you end up having to come back and apologize for. Even if you apologize, it's not forgotten. You know, the apology doesn't erase the memory of what was said. So you could call somebody out of their name or whatever and say, I'm sorry. They're never going to forget that. They're never going to forget that you went there. You know what I'm saying? So, Doc, if you could talk about apologies and even especially to apologize when you're wrong, to be humble enough to first apologize, and if you know you're wrong, say I was wrong. But just to be mindful that that's not going to work all the time, you know, because those apologies pile up, okay? And if you keep doing whatever it is that you're apologizing for, of course, people aren't going to forget that. Could you talk about apologies?
Yeah, I guess, you know, there are parts to an apology, you know. I mean, I think people who don't apologize, in my opinion, are just very insecure. So they don't want to admit that they were wrong. They don't want to admit that they have fault. So they just refrain from apologizing because apologizing requires that you admit that you've done something out of order or wrong. So usually those people who just refuse to apologize kind of have some issues with self and security and maybe a fear they're not going to stack up or be good enough or be accepted if they say that they were wrong. There's some issues they need to get to deal with that because everyone should be able to acknowledge their mistakes, their faults, without some, you know, having some fear of whatever it is they're fearful of or the insecurity that they're going to look bad or look a certain way if they admit to a fault. So that's for starters. We have to definitely, you have to apologize when you do something wrong. And it's great to make up for it by doing something like the example you're saying, but you really do need to fess up to what you've done. That's number one. Number two, like you were saying, apologies really only mean something when they are adhered to, meaning if you apologize today and then do the same thing tomorrow, that really starts to weaken your apology because the whole point of this whole apology process is to acknowledge that you're either hurting, bothering, irritating, whatever it is you're doing to the other person, which would then mean you would make an effort not to do it again. So if you continue, then it really brings into question the sincerity. Apologies are not a free pass to say whatever you want, do whatever you want, and then just come back and apologize. That's abuse, really, was what that is, and that's taking somebody for a fool to think they're going to keep, you know, taking advantage of someone. So that's why we have to draw the line of respect, because you can't take things back. And even though people try to sometimes accept the apology, when you go to such a low level, it corrodes the relationship. Mm-hmm. So, and some things you just can't, you can't take back anything, and some things are harder to forget than others. So that's why it's really and so important to draw the line, walk away when you're extremely upset, when you feel like you might go there, and not, because you can't take it back. And it just makes it, it corrodes the relationship. So a true apology is followed up with an effort not to reoffend.
Mm-hmm. You know, you mentioned to walk away, and I just want to state here that when you're in a discussion and one of the parties decides to walk away, other party, let them walk. Okay, do not follow them. Don't follow them.
Right.
Don't, you know,
exactly.
Don't,
let them go, because you don't know where they are internally. You know, they might need to I need to step away before I say something or do something that I can't take back. So I agree with you. Let them go.
And don't,
let them
don't
calm
let
down
them,
and do what they need to do.
If, even if you don't physically follow them, don't hurl your words at their back, okay, as they're walking out of the room. Don't scream insults at them as they're walking away. No, you better walk away. That's right, walk away. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Okay, let them go. And because, again, this is about we're trying to establish peace here. I see, again, the phone lines are lit up, and I want to give everybody an opportunity to join the conversation. If you're listening online and you'd like to join in this discussion, all you have to do is just press 1 on your telephone, and then I can bring you on board, and you can ask your question or you can make your comment. Again, my special guest is Dr. Ruby Latham. We're talking about relationships. Ah, somebody wants to talk to you. Okay. I'm going to call out the last 4 digits of your number. Okay. 4296, you're on the air with Dr. Ruby Latham. Thank you for your call.
Hey, man. It's been a long time since I spoke to you. This is Louis Gossett.
Hey. Brother Lou.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Did you speak up
Hi,
just
Dr.
a little bit? Louis Gossett Jr. is on the line.
Hi,
Dr. Latham.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me better? I'm on
little
the
little bit
phone.
Better.
A
little bit better. Welcome.
We
Thank
can
you
hear
for
you.
In.
Okay. Oh, it's a pleasure. It's just my, one of my favorite subjects these days. Because of some of the disagreements we've done personally and in towns, and it's all in the newspapers about our international disagreements. And it seems to be once we have an intention to try and heal relationships from one to one, if that's this is man and woman, whoever it is, marriage, that's two halves of the heart. That's one kind of healing. And there's a lot of history that we bring to those relationships. Of course, I think the level's got to be a little higher. I think hurt feelings is one thing. But getting beyond the hurt feelings for a better relationship is, I think, a little bit more important these days because there's a lot of information happening. But then through my foundation is a thing called conflict resolution, Strauss Institute of Conflict Resolution. That's on a larger level where there might have been violence and some deaths and stuff. But for the betterment of the planet, we have to raise the level of toleration, of tolerance, so that we can break that thing to find out if there's something we can do together for a better peace. So that's a very important conversation you guys are having. But as far as loving relationships are concerned, I think the bottom line is two halves of a heart, whatever it takes. And there can't be hurt feelings because you have to go beyond that, you know, to make it grow from where we come from what families that we've learned from, neighborhoods, the families. There might be violence or lies or something or cheating. We've got to have to get beyond it if it's important enough for us to have a successful relationship. And when you have that successful relationship, I'm talking like I got one, but I'm just talking about the things that I have in my life. There's a direction that I'm being led toward to kind of bypass hurt feelings these days for the benefit of two halves of a heart, the communication with brothers and sisters. We kind of need each other more desperately now than ever. So get past these low-level conflicts that we've brought to this particular surface. And you can see it's in the newspapers and our conflicts and the people are going crazy about it. Maybe we have to grow a little bit further with a little bit more patience, a little bit more tolerance, and maybe we have to believe more in whoever we believe in, whether it's God or Allah, whoever, to give us that strength to go deeper into a relationship to make it much more successful for the benefit of our children.
Well, thank you, Brother Lou. Brother Lou, you mentioned something.
Huh?
No, not at all. No, but to touch on something that you mentioned cheating, and that's a big C word in relationships. And
yeah.
I think
yeah.
it comes that there women seem to be more tolerant of that than men. Brothers don't seem on a large scale to take sisters back when they discover a woman has cheated. I don't know why that is, but maybe it's an ego. But
yes, ego, masculine, though.
Doctor, your thoughts on that? Now, again, when it's, you know, you mentioned Brother Lou as far as getting beyond certain things. Now, that's a big one, though, because nowadays, maybe not so much in the past, but there's so many sexually transmitted diseases out here now. You know, you have to,
tell me
I
about
guess
it.
If a brother, the first thing the woman's going to want to know is, if look, at the very least, did you use protection, you know, before we even have a discussion
right.
about me taking you? Did you use protection?
Not even if
because you ain't.
Protection. Are you clean now? Are you clean now? Whether you use protection or not, the fact that we're clean now. But the emotion trying to take the over protection is in the back pocket. You ain't got time. Got to make sure you're clean.
Well, you know, even with that, and even that, Dr. Lacey, your thoughts?
Sure. I mean, I agree with what Brother Lou has said here already. I think, you know, as far as cheating and getting past that, that's a difficult issue, you know, because a lot of times we have to get to the root cause of things before you can fix it or repair it. And so that's an issue, you know, that people have to, you just, you know, I think
Isn't the magic word called respect? Isn't the magic word between people respect?
Absolutely, it's respect, and that's a big sign of disrespect when that occurs. So there's a lot of rebuilding that has to happen, and there's got to be a lot of, you know, acknowledgement, and like I said, I think, you know, coming to the root cause of things before we can just accept an apology and move on. You know, because
I agree. Yeah,
you know, because we're at the bottom line, we're endangering, we can potentially be endangering someone else's life when we decide to cheat. So it's a very serious thing. So
that's what you call a part-time relationship. If you want to be with somebody, you have to intend to be with them for quite a while. All this stuff has got to be dealt with one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
So that you get closer and closer and show people how attractive it is by example.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think when it comes to cheating, that a lot of people think this way. I think that, and I just, you know, after having thought on the topic and why people do it, and why, you know, of course people are going to be hurt feelings behind it. But I don't think that in most cases, I don't think that it's personal. I don't think that a man goes out and says, you know, I'm going to hurt my mate. I'm going to do this to hurt her. Now, women might do that. You know, women might be like, I'm going to show him, you know, I'm going to get him back. But guys, I don't think when they cheat, I don't think they do it with the intent on, I'm doing this to hurt this other person. I think for most brothers, it's a challenge. You know, I think it's like, and I give the example of a guy who might be standing at the foot of a mountain. And at the top of this mountain lies the most beautiful woman in the world, the most beautiful woman in the world. He's beckoning him hither, okay? And so now he feels like, okay, I've got to get to the top. I've got to get to the top of this mountain. And so to get there, this is what he'll do. He'll write her poems. He'll sing her songs. He'll take her to the movies. He'll buy her flowers, do whatever he's got to do to get to the top of the mountain. But now once he's at the top of the mountain, it might plane out for a while, but you're at the top, so you're not going no higher, you know. So now at the top, you're perched on this mountain top now. You look across the way, and sitting on the top of another mountain is another beautiful lady looking at you, winking her eyes, beckoning you, come hither. Now, this brother's already scaled this mountain. Now, he's not intentionally trying to hurt the woman who he just bought the flowers to, but now, because his ego has been challenged, he wants to see, because in his mind, his manhood is on. His manhood has been challenged, okay? So he's measuring himself, okay, based upon either the status of the other woman. Oh, she's a doctor or she's a lawyer. Let me see, can I get that? Or she's fine as wine. Let me see, can I get that? Okay, and so of it is dealing with issues within himself, self-esteem issues. Any thoughts?
I'm looking for the doctor now.
Lucy, he's waiting on
the
doctor
now, Doc. All those old rules got to go away. It's important. All those rules got to go away. If you witness somebody, you have to make that decision to go for it. With all fours, you got to go for it. Those are old rules, seeing another woman, another man, the needs. That's old stuff, old rules that we've been, that have been put into our heads so that it doesn't give us successful chances for a successful relationship for people to watch. I think we need to hone in on why we're here, why we're together, what we're on the planet for. Being two halves of a heart is very important, and I think that's going to have to be it's tough for this generation. It's tough. It's going in a tough direction, but maybe there's some growing up to do amongst mankind, especially those
Correct. People
who don't think they're man enough or woman enough to make it in any other kind of society. Maybe there's some growing up. Maybe there's some learning. I think school is never going to be out. So I think maybe we see that there's pain and cheating, and pain and looking over the shoulder at somebody else, both men and women. And maybe there's an internal decision that has to be made that this is where the buck stops. Let's build here. Maybe there's a better feeling of success when it's one-on-one. Maybe it's better. But we have to look, and we have to be open for that possibility rather than looking over the shoulder and being so attracted by something else once we achieve one person. And those are old rules. I think maybe if we're going to grow as a people, we may have to maybe relearn some stuff or grow out of some boxes and come to the next level.
Dr. Layton?
I agree. You know, it comes down to maturity and what you value. It's like you do understand what you're doing when you make a commitment, right? So what that means is when you see someone that captures your attention, you have to do something different than if you were single. You have to say, oh, okay, that's awesome. She's awesome, but you know what? I made a commitment, so I'm going to go against my nature, I guess, if that's what you want to call it, or inclination, and do what I've committed to do. And, you know, and if you're chronically unhappy and always looking at somebody else, then it sounds like you might have made a, you know, mistake, and you need to correct that. But you don't correct it by just running over somebody. You man up or woman up and say, you know what, we've made a mistake. I need out of this, and then you go do what you want to do. But what a lot of people do when they're not happy in a relationship is just go, you know, get with someone else instead of dealing either with the issue or just go ahead and ending the relationship, you know. So, you know, it just requires maturity and just owning up to where we are and respecting. You know, it's all those things. So it's like we're human. We're going to see other people that we're attracted to. But it's what you do once you acknowledge that that feeling is there. And if it never goes away, like I said, we... Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Well, sometimes there's relationships where there's permission. And those successful relationships, I know people like that also. So it depends on the people.
Oh, right, get permission. Is that what you said?
Yeah, permission. Because it's called open these days, open.
If that's the kind of relationship you're in or need to be in, then sure, there are people who agree to that, and that, I guess, works for them. That's an option.
It's just up to those people. It's up to whoever's in a relationship, I guess.
Right.
But what about, let's talk about honesty for a moment, because let's say, for example, this would be a test of honesty, right? Some guy sees a woman on his job. Now, he's faithful to his wife, okay, or his girlfriend or whatever, and but he sees this woman who he's physically attracted to on his job, or this woman sees this man on the job who she just gets weak every time this man comes around. Her palms start to sweat every time this guy comes around because there's just this physical attraction. Now, honesty, would you suggest, either of you, this person going home and telling their mate, listen, I need to talk to you about there's this guy on the job. I think I need to get a transfer something because, you know, every time I see this guy, I just my palms start to sweat. It's just a physical reaction. And obviously, now, a woman like that, a brother could really trust, right? If she came home and said that, obviously he got a good woman, right? She's telling him, okay? So do you think, would you all advise that? Because I guess it would be hard for a brother to fight a sister or argue with a sister who's coming home and telling him that. Or could you appreciate it as a woman, to all the women out there, if your man came home and said, baby, I think I need to get a transfer. There's this young lady on the job. She's, you know, every time she comes around, you know, my palms start to sweat. I got to get away from her or whatever. I mean, because we're talking real stuff here, right? I mean, so would either of you advise that type of honesty, or do you think that would lead to further every day now the woman questioning the man? So you see that girl again today? you know, did you put in for that transfer yet? You know, would you either of you advise that type of honesty, or just dealing with it yourself?
That's a little tricky. I guess that depends on how you say that. I'm like, to me, if you're in love with your spouse, you can be attracted to someone, but I don't know if you should be having sweaty palms and getting all discombobulated and nervous, because that's evoking a different kind of thing there. So it depends on the situation. So I'm like, if I'm connected to someone, another person doesn't evoke that kind of nervousness, because that nervousness comes from the unknown and wanting to talk to them, wanting to get with them, and that's almost kind of means your door is kind of open. So if you're feeling like that, that's different from, oh wow, this woman is attractive or this man is attractive, and you know they're always winking at me or something like that. That kind of thing you could tell your spouse, sure, but because your heart is in allegiance with them. But if you're feeling butterflies and all kinds of stuff with somebody else, your heart is splintered, and that's a problem, and it's probably going to cause a problem when you tell your spouse that. So I think you got to deal with why you're so open that somebody else is causing butterflies first, and you might, you know, so that indicates a whole different level of a problem. So, yes, that probably would cause a problem if they did say it like that. So I'm not sure what to do in that situation. Might be some counseling, some inner searching to figure out, you know, are you really connected to your partner? Because part of your emotional openness is close to other people when you're truly connected to someone that you love.
Yeah, I think the connection is important enough. If anybody's inviting, then you want to take that invitation, that feeling, and take it out on your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
Figure it out on
wow.
you.
Wow, well, you know what's deep now? Let's talk about it. We going there, y'all? Okay. So you have situations, right? And example, you might have guys. There are a lot of guys that go to go-go joints, right? Watch naked women dance, right? And then go home and take it out on their wife. Okay. You know. So
yeah.
So what is the reality? The reality is that you can be physically attracted to more than one person at a time. You know, of course, no every man wants to feel like in his wife's eyes that he's the most handsome man she ever met. Every woman wants to believe that in her husband's eyes she's the most beautiful woman he's ever laid eyes on. Okay? But now what's interesting is this. You can tell somebody, you can meet somebody. Let's say, for example, you're in your 20s, and a lot of people do this. A lot of people that got married in their 20s are not married now, you know, if they're, you know, say in their 40s or 50s. But you could tell somebody, let's say you're 25 years old, no, or 20 years old, oh, baby, I love you. You're the best, you're the most wonderful person I've ever met in my life. I will never love another. And at the time that you say that, you mean that. Okay, you're not lying. You mean that. This person is the most wonderful person you ever met. You think you'll never love another. But the reality is you haven't met everybody that you're going to meet in your lifetime. Okay, you're saying that based upon the people you've met up to that point. Okay? You haven't met every person that you're going to meet. You could very well meet somebody that's more fascinating than that person, more witty than that person, more educated than that person, more beautiful than that person, more alluring than that person, you know. So I guess it's like either or both of you mentioned being opening your not being mature enough to not open yourself up to that, and I guess that comes back to commitment, because people are curious, you know what I'm saying? So how would you suggest, I see the phone lines are keeping getting longer and longer, people must be calling other people and telling them to tune in. How would you suggest people deal with that curiosity?
I don't know. I can't tell you that. It depends on the people. It depends so rapidly. It depends on
That's a difficult one. I mean, that's why people need to make sure they know themselves pretty well before they jump into a marriage, you know, because the better you know yourself, then the better you know who is going to be most compatible with you. So usually, you know, those kind of things come up when we're kind of immature when we got married and we really didn't know, you know, who we are and how we're going to grow and evolve. And nobody ever knows where that's fully going to go. But, you know, you want to make sure you've got someone who can, you know, evolve with you too. So, you know, that's a difficult problem. I mean, that's a major problem if you are feeling, you know, that you've met someone who's a better match and this, that, and the other. You know, that's a problem. So that needs to be either addressed through counseling or a decision needs to be made. But what doesn't need to happen is just cheating, and you know, that's kind of the cowardly way out. What needs to happen is just, you know, let's acknowledge that this is an issue and maybe it's, you know, time to go a different direction. I don't know. But I think, you know, being honest about things is important. You know, I do think there's a difference between being physically attracted to someone and being emotionally attracted to someone. You know, we're human. We're going to be physically attracted to a lot of different people. Emotional attraction is usually where things kind of indicate a problem in your relationship. Something's not being fulfilled, then that leads to the additional physical attraction. And that's usually most commonly, especially for women, is that emotional attraction to someone else who's filling a need emotionally that maybe their husband isn't, because people get relaxed and they stop talking in depth, they start being boring and doing nothing, and they don't mix things up, and they get lazy and out of shape, and there's no stimulation. And so it's like, you know, then you meet someone else who's giving you that mental stimulation. So it doesn't always mean that you and your partner aren't working. It just means that you and your partner aren't working well right now. It means you need to fix some things. So, you know, kind of going back to your earlier question about whether you should tell your spouse that, you know, there's this person who's making them all sweaty palmed and this, that, and the other, I think that would be an opportunity to take a look at the relationship and see what needs are not being met for each other that would allow that kind of openness to happen, because that's really what that means.
I agree.
Yeah, of course, because the brother going to be like, so what? So I don't make your palms sweat anymore?
Right. So I'm thinking, you know, you might want to set up a counseling session before you just drop that bomb, you know, because that's just going to that's gonna cause a lot of insecurity by your partner if you go and just say that and just leave it out like that. That might be more problems than it's solving. So I would say you have to be ready to take some action once you say something like that.
Yeah, you got to live in a solution. You got to go toward it, have a common solution.
Right,
so,
right.
So you have something to work on a daily basis, on a common direction. Yeah.
Brother Lou, your phone is a little muffled.
There's no perfection.
It's a little muffled. I don't know if it's the phone or if it's the connection.
The problem with these California cell phones are having problems. I'm almost swallowing this thing.
Okay. Well, listen, can we talk about wounded?
I don't know what to do.
Let's talk about room to grow for a minute, because oftentimes in relationships you have people that have been together for a long time. They may have been, I don't know, married for decades or whatever, and at some point they end up sleeping in different rooms, you know, and, you know, many people you might hear people talk about how their parents, they know that their parents ended up sleeping in different rooms. People sometimes just grow apart. And once a person grows apart from their mate, then, of course, you know, for whatever the reason is, there's always going to be somebody out there that shares your likes, whatever your likes are. Could you talk about ways in which that people can do things to ensure that they don't grow apart? I mean, of course, people have different interests, and, you know, of course, people should be, you know, feel free to be able to pursue a particular interest. But if both parties aren't doing anything in terms of, you know, keeping the relationship solid in terms of finding similar interests, people will grow apart. Can you talk about that?
I don't know. Sure. Yeah. I think. You can. I'm happy to yield the floor.
Me too.
Okay. I think with the relationships, you know, from my observance, you know, people kind of lose that best friend kind of thing a lot of times in their relationships, and, you know, they get a little bit just complacent. They get complacent because, you know, they've won the person over, we've been together X amount of years, we know everything about each other, and there's nothing new happening between or in this relationship, and that's usually where some corrosion starts. If you're not doing something actively that you both enjoy and like and have an outlet, you know, you still have to, you know, put yourself together for the person. You still got to look good for the person, even though you wake up next to the person, you know what they look like when they wake up, but you don't have to look like that all day. You know, let's fix ourselves up. Let's look good. Let's keep the stimulation going, and let's, you know, make it new. This is your life. So I don't understand why people, you know, decide to live such a lesser life because they're with this person instead of still having exciting relationships and doing things that they enjoy, and, you know, things that they can connect with and have a conversation about. I mean, that's important. You know, people still have to develop themselves. I think sometimes people stop and they become just one, and they don't have any part interest apart from the other, so there's nothing to talk about. So, you know, we still have to develop ourselves. We still have to read. We still have to have our personal life, and that adds to the relationship. And I think sometimes that's an issue where people lose themselves and then they start feeling resentful about that because they're not doing anything that's personal for them. Everything is a group, you know, activity. So I think, you know, you need that activities that bring you together, and then you need your individual development so that you maintain that individuality that you had when you met the person and attracted the person.
Yeah, I think the thing you said that was more magic is best friends. The person you stay with for the rest of your life is going to be your best friend.
Mm-hmm,
if you're the best
mm-hmm.
friend, and then you grow in that friendship. And I've seen it. I've even seen it on corny television commercials. Elderly people who have been together for a long time, they have become one another's best friend.
Mm-hmm.
The walls are
that's
down.
That's true.
And they're the best friends. I think that's the best relationship there are, the best friends.
Speaking of friends,
there's nothing you
okay,
can discover. There's nothing you can discuss. Your best friend.
Okay. Well, speaking of friends, let's talk about that for a moment. Female friends for men and women, and male friends for females. Is it advisable? I mean, again, this is, I know, not a one shoe fits all. Everybody's different, but just for different perspectives, would you advise that? I mean, you know, some people have those type of relationships where they're very secure with themselves, and they're like, hey, no, my wife, she can have male friends, and women, they're like, hey, my husband, he has female friends. I mean, any thoughts?
I think it's that could be a recipe for a mistake. You know, it's tricky. it's very tricky. So I don't believe in any hard and fast rules to say, no, you can't have this and you can't have that. You know, if you've had a male friend and you're a woman and you guys have talked about the possibility of a relationship and you guys have been friends for 10-plus years and you know it's not happening and you guys are just friends, I don't see that you would necessarily have to end that when you get married, but it can be tricky because it's hard to accept that. You know, it's very difficult. So I think that's on a case-by-case basis, and obviously that friend would have to be friends with both of you and be comfortable with hanging out with both of you, and if they're not, probably that's a bigger problem. So I think that's a very sensitive topic. I don't believe in hard and fast rules, but I would take that one with a lot of caution and just make a special effort to be inclusive so there's no questioning that's going on. But, you know, people need to make sure they're not setting themselves up for failure either in their relationships. So, that depends. That's not advised, but you can't just say categorically no. Most times it's not a good idea, but I'm sure there are some instances where it works.
You know, what's interesting about that one is that could be tricky. You're very correct. It could be very tricky because imagine you come home from work. Your husband is on the phone talking to Karen. If he gets off the phone as soon as you walk in the door, you're liable to suspect something. If he stays on the phone when you come through the door, you might have an issue with that. You know, like, didn't you see me here? You're just going to keep on talking to her like I'm not here? But if he got off the phone, it's like, so why you get off the phone when I come in the room? You know what I mean?
Catch 22 there. Yep, it can be tricky. You can pretty much... I think as people, we know when something's up and when something's not. And so you just go with what your spidey senses tell you well before you go ahead and make this commitment, you know. It's like you can tell when someone's talking to someone who means something more to them than just a friend. That's why I say it's a case-by-case basis because it can work in some cases, a lot of times not. And then the other thing with these male-female friendships is that sometimes one party believes they're just friends, where the other party the whole time is hoping it switches over. That happens a lot, you know, where there's, you know, men and women. There's a woman who's friends with a guy, and in her mind, she will never date this guy. He's one of her best buds, mm-hmm. but he is holding out hope against hope that one day she's going to need him or switch feelings, and then she doesn't really have an idea about that. So, you know, that can be a tricky situation. That's why it's, like I say, it's somewhat tricky and it can be dangerous, but I say that's something you got to handle on a case-by-case basis and make sure all parties involved are comfortable and have talked about all of that so that it's all out in the open.
Brother Lou, your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. I agree 100%. It's as diverse as there are people. You know, if somebody comes home and you're on the phone with your best friend, you say, I'm talking to such and such. You want to say hello? Yeah, I mean, it depends on the people. And it depends on the insecurities of the people who are in a relationship. There's also the other side. Well, you get with a woman and you're living with a woman, or a man's living with a woman, or a woman's living with a man, where they block everybody else. So now they're stuck with just that one person because of a fear. So that's wrong, too. So I think it's as diverse as there are people. But if we're all going in the same direction of compassion and compatibility with two halves of a heart, maybe those things, with the help of conversation, can go away to refine itself to a nice relationship between two people, which is what we're all supposed to be after in the first place.
Everybody, my special
guest. We have to work on it.
My special guest, everybody, is Dr. Ruby Lason and Baba Lou Gossett Jr. has called in and joined the conversation. Thank you so much, Baba, for spending some time with us this afternoon. Does anybody else want to join in? All you have to do is just press 1. I see the lines are lit. Well, somebody else wants to talk, okay? Hold on 1 second, everybody. Let me get to the phones here. I'm going to call the last four digits, 4356, you're on the air with Dr. Ruby Lathan and Babalu Gossett Jr.
Good evening. This is Renee Taylor. How is everybody today?
Hey, Renee. Hey, Renee.
That's good. I just want to say that I was married 37 years when my husband passed. We worked together 20 years. We knew who we were. We were mature enough and secure enough in our relationship that we didn't worry about having to get rid of friendship, but we knew what the parameters were. You know, his female friends would not call my house every day. They wouldn't just pop up. My male friends would not do that either. We just knew. And the oddity about it was we worked together in the same office. And I was still cute then. But he would say, I see all of the men looking at you. I see them approaching you. He said, but I knew every day I got to go home with the prize. And he had no insecurities, and it worked beautifully. I don't think that could work like that for too many people. But we knew from the onset who we were. We knew that there would be issues. So when things popped up, we weren't devastated because the expectation was, okay, we're going to get through that and get to the other side of who we are, you know. And it worked perfectly. And everybody spoke about how amazing it was that we had that kind of relationship, that we worked. And it was not a thing that we put on. It was just truly who we were. And sometimes I think it was because we were supposed to grow old together and that didn't work. But we were supposed to be with each other. And in that, nothing was insurmountable. I just wanted to say that it can, and it takes a certain mindset, maturity level, and things like that to work.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Queen Renee. That is that. When you say you work together in the same office, yes, you and your husband worked on the same job, you say?
On the same job. We worked the same shift. We had the same days off, and eventually I became his supervisor. But on our days off, we did everything together, even down to shopping, going to the cleaners. We would both get out of the car and go into the cleaners together just to drop off clothes. And it was a relationship that I can't even describe. And we had issues. Everybody has issues. But we just always knew that we were headed in the same place, the same direction, and we'd get through whatever came our way.
Wow, that is awesome. Now I'm gonna tell you something. That's deep there. I mean, because you said you were his brother's supervisor. I mean,
mm-hmm.
You became his supervisor. So, Doc, I don't know. Are you good on time, Dr. Lathan?
Sure, I've got a few more minutes.
Okay, I was gonna ask to talk about roles for a second. Just the roles, or do you believe that there are roles in relationships? Because, like Queen Renee said, she was this man's supervisor, but then had to go home with him. You know what I'm
mm-hmm.
saying? Where, and the roles may have shifted. You know, I don't know what their relationship was in the home, but you could find a brother that could be very, shaky with that type of relationship where he has to, where his wife has the authority over him at work. And then, you know, if not careful, you know, when going home, then that could cause some serious problems. Kudos to you, Queen Renee, that it didn't.
You know, most women tell men what to do anyway at home, so they should be used to it. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding a little bit. I think for people that could be a problem, obviously in this relationship it was and it shouldn't be. Because you trust that person, you know, you're really a team at that point. I do see how it could be a problem for some people, but if, you know, the man is secure in himself, then he should be happy and proud that his wife was promoted and feel safe and secure in his job. That's how that should look at it. We're running this thing. If you look at it some other different way, oh, you have authority over me, then they probably have a problem in the relationship anyway. You know, a healthy relationship would be able to handle that pretty well, and especially with a woman who knows how to honor a man, deal with a man, and be his boss without belittling or anything like that, there shouldn't be a problem. If that's occurring, again, there's a different level of a problem.
Just don't write him up, right? <Don't>
Yeah, that wouldn't go over well. Again, we have to look at this as a team. You know, if he's not performing well, that's a reflection. So, I think that could work. That should be able to work. I think it happens a lot of times. Not a whole lot, but it does happen. And I don't believe in these specific gender roles that we have put on each other, that, you know, somebody's got to do this and that. I think when you care about a person, you help out at home. You do what needs to be done. You play to your strengths. So if my strength is cleaning and organizing, that's my strength. If your strength is something else, then we split it up. But given that men and women are pretty much equal in the workplace now, the traditional roles don't necessarily work, because that ends up putting too much work on the woman to take care of the entire house and work and, you know, the old roles that we've seen on television from the, you know, 50s and 60s just don't apply here and become quite uneven and burdensome. And so when people expect that and they wonder why maybe the woman is withdrawn and tired and not doing what they want, it's because, you know, there's too much work and it needs to be shared.
Wow. Awesome point. Queen Renee, thank you for interjecting that into the discussion. Very, very good points that you brought in. And thank you for sharing that with us.
Thank you.
Thank you. By the way, Baba Lou has left the building. He said he had to go study. So thank you. Well, still studying. That's awesome. thank you so much for tuning in, Queen Renee. Was there anything else you wanted to add?
I just wanted to say I respected the man. You know, a lot of women, especially in the Christian community, they said they submit to their husband. I said that word did not sit well with me, but I respected him. And quite frequently, out of that respect and understanding there are two positions sometimes, two opinions, somebody's going to have to give in. I found myself giving in, but not to the point that I was consumed by what he wanted all the time, you know, and that I just let myself go. And interesting enough, very quickly, we adopted four children. My baby girl was 2 days old, and he never wanted to tell her. And that was one thing that I wanted to do so badly, because she knew the other three boys were adopted. I wanted her to know as well. Well, the long and short of it, he passed, and then I couldn't tell her. And she just, as of yesterday, found out, not in the way I wanted her to. And I actually sat here and thought today, I gave in to that, and maybe I should not have. But at the same time, it was so important to him that she not know. That
well,
was the right decision.
What's interesting about that, Queen Renee, is if she just found out, then it's possible, and I assume that he lived a life as a real dad to her, you know, that there was nothing in his behavior that would make her think anything other than that was her father, you know, and that it says something about you that you felt comfortable enough, I mean, even with him, to, you know, not share it with her. I mean, that you were comfortable with her thinking that that was her real dad. So that's him.
And she's 25. And so for 25 years, it was a secret well kept. And for the last day or so, it's been an emotional roller coaster. And I did question myself whether that was one of the times I should not have given in. But then I said it was necessary for him, you know. I just really believed that it was necessary for him. And I didn't make the wrong decision, even though I wanted something otherwise, you know. But
well, it's good, I think. I don't know how she found out, but I think that it's good that she does know. I mean, everybody has the right to know the truth. You know what I mean? It's not like, you know, everybody, that's one thing. There are so many, and this is a whole other discussion. We won't have to go down that road today, but there are a lot of family secrets. There are a lot of secrets in families, and people don't know. You know, they're thinking this person is one person, thinking somebody else is something else. And we preach truth. We preach telling our children the truth. We implore them to tell the truth and be honest, you know. And so I think that it's on us, and it's our responsibility to do the same. It's not taking anything away from the decision that you made. Ultimately, she found out the truth, you know, and it wasn't in a bad, it wasn't, the truth wasn't that he was a bad person. The truth was that, just the truth, that he wasn't her biological father. And as a human, I mean, she has a right to know that. You know what I mean? And so I wouldn't beat myself up over that. I mean, she found out. I don't know how she found out, but, you know, she deserved to know the truth. I mean, that's my opinion on that.
And that's how I wanted it from the beginning, you know, because we got her when she was 2 days old. So she has never known any other family, you know, and I think it's timing is everything, and she's mature enough now to handle some things much better. But it just seems like one thing after the other. Daddy passed.
Wow.
Shortly after got cancer, you know, so it was just like timing was perfect, but thank you.
Oh, well, shoot. Are you okay? You need to say anything to Dr. Lathan? I mean, you know, concerning that. I mean, this is why you got her on the phone. I mean, you okay?
I'm okay. It's just, I think it's going to be, I don't think our relationship dynamics are going to change, but I'm expecting more questions, you know, so I'm not going to be surprised.
But we're
going to
give Dr. Lathan information so that if you have anything that you would like to discuss with her off the air, just concerning the health piece. Then you can be open. You can be open to that.
Okay.
Dr. Lathan, any thoughts on flirting before we go? That's a big piece for a lot of people, flirting. You know, some people say it's innocent, you know, but just to be real, a guy is not going to flirt with a woman that he wouldn't be with if he had the opportunity. He wouldn't waste his time. He wouldn't wait. A brother would not flirt with a woman who he did not secretly have some sort of an attraction to, and if the opportunity presented itself, would follow up on that flirting. That's my opinion. Yours, Doc?
I agree. I think if you're in a relationship, flirting with somebody else is disrespectful and inappropriate and opens you up to cheating. So it's a reflection of your mindset. It's never, in my opinion, innocent when you respect your partner. So that's a no-go. I've been in that situation, and the person was like, oh, I just want to know if I still have it. And I'm like, well, then you need to just go on and find that out on your own, because that doesn't feel good to me, and I've told you about it before, and it continues. So I don't have any trust. So it undermines trust, and it's just disrespectful, and it just looks bad, and it's embarrassing usually to the other person's spouse. So I think if you need to flirt, then you need to work on your insecurities in yourself, because that's going to cause a problem. So, yeah, flirting when you're in a committed relationship, especially a marriage or a level of a marriage, is a no-go. Flirting is for people who are trying to get to know other people. And send a message. That's what it's for.
And the people that flirt, let's say, for example, you're on the job and you're flirting with your coworkers or whatever, and they know you're married, and let's say they don't know your wife, but they see your wife or they see your man, your husband, and you don't flirt in the presence of your mate, then you and that person on the job have a secret, okay? You and that person on the job have this job marriage thing going on that your mate would not feel comfortable with knowing about, you know. So just keep that in mind, that sisters, in case you think that, oh, he's just flirting, that's just innocent. Flirting is never innocent, okay? It's only innocent to the degree or from the standpoint that it's not you know, you keep a lid on it. But if you're getting that type of acknowledgement on the job or in the workforce or wherever you are, and it's making you feel good, I mean, you go looking for the person, you know, to flirt with or whatever, you're getting some sort of fulfillment out of that, you know. But just keep in mind, would you have a problem if your mate did the same thing? Just something to think about. But this show has been awesome. It went by fast. This hour went by fast. I want to thank Queen Renee, Baba Lou, as I mentioned, left the building. I want to thank him for calling in. Lou Gossett Jr. Tuned in and added some interesting comments as well. I want to say thank you to him for that. Dr. Lathan, of course, is a regular on the show. You can hear her once a month on Jawanza for Life, and she's got shows all throughout the archives, and I invite everybody to scroll down the archives and check those shows out. You'll be definitely glad that you did. Wherever you see Dr. Lathan, just click it, and you'll be in for a very, very fabulous show. We've done shows on all different kinds of ways to reverse different types of cancer. I mean, just you'll be pleasantly surprised. If you haven't gone down our archives before, do that and find something that you like and share this information with others. Dr. Lathan, you have anything that you'd like to let the listeners make the listeners aware of, any upcoming events that you would like to share?
Yes, so they can definitely visit my website, rubylathan.com, and take a look at the events page. A lot of people are switching to a plant-based diet. You know, they've been watching great documentaries like What the Health, which I happen to be in, and they're switching. And so we are going to be launching a going vegan program, online program, to help people do that and successfully, and to avoid all the pitfalls that sometimes happen when people aren't prepared to switch their diet. So you'll be able to sign up for that starting tomorrow for a webinar that we're going to do, and then you can sign up for the program itself. But the webinar, I'll let you know a lot more information about it, and you can join us and get healthy and go vegan. So we'll be talking about that. We'll be having a webinar next week, but tomorrow will be on my page and folks can check it out.
Dr. Lathan, I just want to thank you so much for a very powerful, powerful show today. Put a lot of stuff out there, a lot of interesting perspectives for people to think about, to chew on. Remember, it's important, everybody, to have healthy relationships. Again, we all are here because of relationships. And, you know, many of us that are listening to the show have children who are watching, okay, and they're going to pattern themselves and interact with others in relationships the way they see you interacting with your mate or friends or whomever. So be mindful that there's somebody watching. And like Dr. Lathan mentioned earlier, one good way to know if you're even in a healthy relationship is, how do you feel? You know, do you feel loved? You know, are you happy when you're around this person? Are you not? I mean, these are, you know, very, very interesting points that I hope that, you know, when you go back, and I know you're going to go back and listen to it again and share this show with other people to think about. Doctor, any closing remarks concerning relationships? Any final thoughts on healthy relationships?
Just, you know, keep them healthy, keep feeling good. Don't be afraid to let go of ones that are toxic or not good feeling to you, and, you know, keep ourselves healthy and loving and cared for. That's important. It affects our physical health very much so if we're in long-term negative relationships. So we have to protect ourselves and protect our health.
And before you, if you do find that you need to let go of one, make sure before you get into another that take time to heal, okay, that you do some assessing of the one that you just left. If you're getting out of a relationship, make sure that you take time to go back, look at it, look at your mindset. Where were you when you were in this? What? Try to discover why you made the choices that you made. Even look at things that you could have done differently. You know, don't point fingers. You know, look at yourself. What role did I play in the falling apart of the relationship? And take some time off and to, you know, try to discover who you are and to, again, look back and see, look at the relationship from the outside in instead of from the inside. So, everybody, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I have really enjoyed this hour. Again, special surprise, Baba Lou Gossett Jr. called in and shared some interesting insights with us as well. Appreciate his coming on and sharing with us as well. Dr. Lathan, it's always a pleasure. I can't wait for the next show. I look forward to you again, everybody. Make sure you check out the Veggie Chest on YouTube, the Veggie Chest. If you're just making the transition to a holistic plant-based diet, Dr. Lathan is going to show you how to do it. That's on YouTube, the Veggie Chest as well. So until the next time, everybody, thank you, Doctor. I'll talk to you soon.
Good night.
All right, everybody, that is Dr. Ruby Lathan. Again, I encourage you, scroll down the archives, wherever you see her name, okay, and I guarantee you, you'll be glad that you did. And make sure you check out her website and also the Veggie Chest as well. We're very, very fortunate to have people of this caliber come on and share insights. Again, talking about relationships, we understand that it's not a one-size-fit-all, that everybody's at different places. Everybody comes from different backgrounds. Everybody has different perspectives. But hopefully that this show today gave you some interesting thoughts to consider when it comes to your relationships. So keep in mind, somebody's watching, all right? My name's Juwanza. Who am I? I'm the one who, in giving, receives more. Who are you?